to say that the on-air access is fine, but then there's this other unequal thing. And I think that the way to equalize it is not to restrict those who can reach other people by mail, but to make it possible to reach other people by mail. So perhaps we should look into letting the foundation underwrite candidates who want to run and need access by paying for at least a minimal mailing in as many colors as they want.
Point of information?
Yes, sir.
Casey, can you give us just a rough estimate of how much does the printing and mailing of the ballot, of the booklet and the ballot cost national, you know, a total national cost?
You know, I'm not quite certain of that. It's certainly the lion's share of the entire budget. The entire budget is somewhere in the neighborhood of $220,000. I think it's I can tell you that to do the kind of mailing that Carolyn's speaking of, if it's 3 ounces like 15 sheets of paper, so it might actually be 4 ounces. But 3 ounces is 2 cents.
Sorry, Casey, you're breaking up. Your signal's breaking up.
And right now we can't hear you at all. At least I can't.
Okay. I believe that a mailing that Carolyn's speaking of, if you send it first class, is going to cost something on the order of 90 cents per individual mailing to. And talking about 10 to 15 people per station, some stations more, I think. So so we're talking that without printing costs, it's going to run in excess of $50,000.
I'm sorry, you repeat the number?
$50,000, in excess of $50,000 for postage alone, excluding printing. So I don't think we're going to be able to implement that proposal this year. I don't know how we could get the money. But I do agree with Bob that the fact that we have a ballot going along with the ballot to each voter gives them instant access to information about all of the candidates. Right there in their hand, they have a 500-word statement from each candidate. And as Bob said, you can say a lot in 500 words. And also, I think you can say a lot in 5 minutes on the air. But I do agree with Henry that you don't reach everybody with the on-air forums, but you do reach every voter with the voter pamphlet.
Carolyn here. I think that in the beginning...
I'm sorry, I'd ask to be on the stage.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sarah.
Thanks. I think that in making a statement earlier, the members sort of hit the nail on the head, perhaps without realizing it. We are a radio station. Our air is our most valuable asset. The general managers and program directors are not unaware of the elections. I'm sure that Casey has been in touch with them. They are aware of the requirement to schedule these forums. The local election supervisors may be right now in the process of working those dates out. The drives aren't, the dates of the fundraising drives aren't going to be determined, 5 minutes before we start pitching. They'll be done ahead of time so that this can be planned and it can be announced. And if our air is the way we spread the message we say we believe in, why isn't our air considered, a tremendous avenue for sharing information about the people who are running? 2 minutes, if you listen to news stories, a news headline might be 2 or 3 minutes. but you get tremendous amounts of information in those 2 or 3 minutes. It doesn't sound like a lot, maybe when you're talking about it, if you've not, well, to some people it may not sound like a lot, but it's an opportunity to convey information, because lots of people can write stuff, but you don't know who's really writing it when you read it. When you hear someone talk and you hear the inflection, and many people believe that by actually hearing the person's voice, you can tell an awful lot about both what they're saying and what they're actually meaning, in the case that it's not the same thing. So really don't... What are we afraid of here? That if we simply put everybody on an even footing, that some people aren't going to get in, but they have to be able to buy their way in? But that's essentially what we're saying, and that is antithetical to what we supposedly preach all the time. And it's contradictory to many of the ideas that people who say they believe in Pacifica espouse on a regular basis. But I'm not trying to shut down discussion. I just think that we're going around in circles at this point. I think pretty much everything has been said. The fact is there are two positions. Either you believe that our listeners can discern what they're hearing and that they can read the statement that comes with the ballot, or you believe that you have to find a slick way to present your issues, and that's your only shot, in which case, you know, so we can continue to repeat ourselves, but I'm just wondering when enough is enough.
This is Bob. I wonder if I could read my motion.
Yes, Bob, go ahead.
Okay.
And I want to continue on this track. Go ahead, please.
Sure. Okay, and I have mailed this out to everyone. And I'm totally open to, you know, changes that would clear or make, you know, more. Okay. Whereas Article 12, Section 4 of the Pacifica Bylaws provides for member access to the membership list, quote, for a purpose reasonably related to such person's interest as a member of the foundation, unquote, but also includes the proviso, quote, where the foundation provides a reasonable alternative to achieve the member's articulated purpose, the foundation may deny the member access to its membership list and information, unquote, and whereas the Pacifica Bylaws and rulings of the National Election Supervisor provide for several methods for candidates, candidates for delegates, to make their positions and views known in order to advocate for their election as delegates, including all candidates' equal right to have their 500-word statements included in the booklets mailed to all voters, to participate in on-air and community debates by candidates, and to record to record on-air announcements and to have their answers to a lengthy questionnaire included on their station's website. And whereas in prior delegate elections, the above-cited section has been utilized by delegate candidates and groups of delegate candidates to send privately financed mailings to promote their candidacies to the station's membership list, and whereas the spending of large sums of money in Pacifica campaigns runs totally counter to the non-commercial nature of the Pacifica network and the aims of the foundation to provide its members with fairly contested elections without serious imbalances in access to campaign funding, therefore, be it resolved, the Pacifica National Board, well, I guess it would be that the Campaign Finance Subcommittee, recommends that the Pacifica National Board make a finding that the foundation provides, quote, a reasonable alternative to achieve the members' articulated purpose by the methods outlined above, and thus determines that the foundation shall deny use of any station's mailing list to a member who seeks such list for the purpose of promoting the candidacy of one or more members for the position of delegate. And I would add, maybe we could do this informally. We could ask Casey, if this motion passes, we could ask Casey as the National Election Supervisor if he could obtain an opinion from Pacifica's legal counsel about his view of that.
We'd have to do that,
yeah.
Yes. Let me make one correction, Bob. Please change their station's website to to an official Pacifica website.
Oh, okay. I'll fix that.
Sure.
I was finished, Carol.
Yes, all right, thank you. My feeling, I wanted to say something before you came in with that, in response to something that had been said earlier, is that there probably are not just two points of view here. There is a third, and that is the enormous weight and potential for candidates and delegates to support candidates by using the mailing lists of their own individual organizations. We have no way of restricting that, and I don't think we should. And I think that our original thought that this was any restriction on the access to the mailing list really goes counter to what the bylaws were written to preclude, and I think that we really need to think carefully about restricting members' rights to access the membership. If you want to make this comprehensive, then you need to restrict every member's right to access the membership list on behalf of any issue related to the elections, if this is what you're going to do. Otherwise, we're going to be dancing around language a lot. And this proposal is not that comprehensive. In other words, it restricts the candidates, and there's no penalty for candidates who, in fact, decide not to sign it and then not abide by it for whatever reason, or even not to sign it, number one. And number two, it doesn't really go far enough to achieve the purpose you want, which is to keep the candidate, keep the membership from being contacted by mail in favor of or against any candidate running.
Henry on the stack, please.
Henry, go ahead.
Cal, my thinking about this, I don't think at all that these pledges are going to be effective. I think that some people, for a variety of reasons, will continue to raise money and do mailings as long as that's permitted. And people will, as you have pointed out, people also will use organizations that they're part of with overlapping membership to promote their own candidacy. And in some sense, that may be an unfairness, but that obviously there's nothing we can do about that. What I think the benefit of this would be if we had this pledge and some candidates, you know, signed the pledge and others didn't, and it may even be people who signed it and cheat. Nevertheless, the real benefit that I see is that when this notification appears on the ballot, as Casey has, you know, proposed, that mm-hmm. there would be a notation next to their name as to whether or not they had signed this, it would cause listeners, sponsors who are about to cast their vote, to stop and think, and in at least many cases, not all, to ask themselves, are they making their choice on the merits, or on the whether the candidate really represents positions that they agree with, or are they allowing themselves to be influenced by the publicity that candidate may have generated? And that at that moment, if some significant, as I think, some significant share of the voters might stop and say, "Whoa, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't just go down and check the people on this mailing that I got, but I should stop and think for myself." That's all to the good. It's not a perfect solution. It by no means solves the whole problem, but it does more than anything else that I've heard, except possibly Bob's proposal, which I like but have questions about the legality of, to counteract the influence of money in the campaigns. So, you know, the argument that it's not comprehensive, that it's full of loopholes, that people can get around it or can cheat on it or whatever, all of those arguments are true. And yet I still see a benefit in it that I don't think that we can achieve any other way. I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, to argue that people will get around it is not really the point. People will. The point is whether having this issue kind of raised on the ballot will help counteract the effect of the money. That to me is the real point.
Terry, on fact.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. Terry, go ahead, please, on the stack.
Yeah. Mr. Letter's proposal isn't as loophole-full as the chair may have suggested, because if, for example, a member approached the foundation to exert their membership rights for access to a mailing in order to support or oppose one of these upcoming bylaws amendments,
mm-hmm.
They could not be prohibited under Mr. Letterer's proposal because it is specifically regarding delegate candidates. And so people could still raise funds in order to stop the dangerous bylaws amendment or something. However, the mailing is seen by the foundation or could be seen by the foundation before it goes out. And so if someone had been granted access to the membership list for the purposes of a bylaws amendment, and then the material they submitted was promoting a candidate, the foundation could keep the mailing from going out because it's handled by a third party and the mailing list is never given to whoever is being granted access. So it's not full of loopholes. It just might be illegal. And I'll probably be voting against Mr. Letter's proposal at this point, but if we get a legal opinion with citations in case law that shows that my own opinion is wrong, then I'll change my vote.
Thank you. Bob, go ahead.
May I interject? Is that a new word you just coined, the loophole full? I like it.
Okay. Well, I think Terry made some very valid points. And I also did hear something in what Carolyn said that I think was an aspect I hadn't necessarily thought through, which is why I was saying I'm looking for feedback on this, which is, so I'd like to add language that says, well, it's the question of that what should be prohibited is not only promoting election of a candidate, but also criticizing other candidates. Because in theory, if it just said promote, you could do a mailing that never mentioned who are the candidates you support, but just said these candidates are bad, don't vote for them. So I think the language should read something like the subcommittee recommends that the PNB make a finding that when a member seeks access to the mailing list in order to promote or criticize or some other verb like that, promote or criticize the election of a candidate or candidates for delegate, the foundation provides a reasonable alternative to achieve the member's articulated purpose by the methods outlined above, and thus determines the foundation shall deny use of any station's mailing list to a member who seeks such list for the purpose of promoting or criticizing the candidacy of one or more members for the position of delegate. That was one change I wanted to make. And the other one was maybe to put into the motion something about that the subcommittee recommends that the National Election Supervisor Terry, what was your phrase about the type of opinion you would want? A reference?
Research with citations.
A written opinion with cites to case law.
A written legal opinion
with citations of applicable case law.
Citations of applicable case law, if any, we have to say, because we don't know for a fact that there are.
Well, I do.
Okay, well, let's just put that in just because we don't. I mean, I trust you, but I think just cover all bases. Because the question of what constitutes applicability could be argued. And I don't know what it is, but we should leave that to our attorney. So, further resolved that the subcommittee recommends that the National election supervisors seek a written legal request from Pacifica's legal counsel, a written legal opinion with citations of applicable case law, if any, on the legality of this proposal. Terry, does that kind of cover your concern? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Terry, are you there?
Oh. Oh.
Was that a nope or a yes?
Terry, we're still not hearing you.
Oh, perhaps he didn't hear your question. Do you want to repeat
it? Okay, can you hear me now?
Now we can.
Did you hear Bob's question?
I didn't hear the question. I heard his amendment or revision in language, I think.
My question was just, did this amendment, speak to the concern you had about, making sure we get a solid opinion?
Yes.
Okay. Should I read it again, just the amendment or the addition? Further
yes.
Resolved that the subcommittee recommends that the National Election Supervisor, why don't I put in the word immediately, as soon as possible, request from Pacifica's legal counsel a written legal opinion with citations of applicable case law, if any, on the legality of this proposal. Casey, are you okay with that kind of language?
That's fine.
Okay.
Now, does this I'll open this up for discussion. Any discussion on this amendment? Is this a separate motion, is it not?
No, it's just it's an addition. It's an amendment to what I read before.
Well, I think we should make it a separate motion, don't you? And then an opinion on the motion attached rather than the motion itself, which hasn't been passed yet. In other words, make the motion the request for a legal opinion.
I don't mind separating it. It's all connected, but, if you want to separate it, that's okay.
Any objections to dividing that and making the first motion the motion to seek a legal opinion on?
The first motion. That doesn't make any sense. First, we have to see if the subcommittee agrees with the underlying motion, and then to request the opinion. Or are you saying?
You have one member saying that he would like to have a legal opinion first to see if that might change his vote.
Right, I understand, but I guess that's fine, and certainly we can revisit this. But I'm just saying that we want to. I would think that we would want to see where the members stand on the issue tonight, and then, based on the opinion, people absolutely are free to change their opinion and come back later. But just to see, is this something that has any support at all, or is it just me, before we put all the effort into getting a legal opinion?
Now, to be clear, this motion, if passed, would go to the Elections Committee.
Correct.
And then to the, if passed, then to the Legal Counsel.
No, I we're recommending the National Election. Well, Casey, you can speak to this question. Do you consult with the Legal Counsel for issues that, that come
yes.
up?
Right? Yes.
So he can do that on his own authority. I mean, we don't actually have to pass this separate motion. He could just do it. But I think since it's reacting to a proposal from the subcommittee, it would be appropriate for us to suggest it to him, and then he can just go do it.
Yes.
I mean, time is of the essence because, we have to, the election committee is meeting on the 24th and the board is meeting on the 28th. So.
And the ballots are going to the printer before the end of the month. And, any proposed alteration of the ballot, such as noting whether somebody signed this pledge, has to be done sooner rather than later.
Now, just to be clear, a point of information on this. This this does not restrict people from using lists of other organizations than the membership list to mail their candidate information out. Is that correct?
So people we can't possibly do that. That's a First Amendment issue. This only controls what the Pacifica Foundation has possession of, which is its own mailing list.
All right, then I'm going to vote against it and speak against it on the grounds that, in fact, it really handicaps people who do not, who are the very people we're worried about, the independent voters who have no access to large organizational lists. They now will have no access to the membership list or to their or to an organizational list. They don't belong to a large group. Then they have no access to the membership, either because of shared lists or because they are actual members. So I will vote against this myself. All right, any other comments on this or discussion? Are we ready to move to a vote?
Henry, I have a question, a comment.
Henry?
I'm still troubled about the scenario where there's, where at least some listeners perceive that the management or the board is trying to take over. Is it not the case that this resolution could be used to deny access? The opportunities that are now available, the 500 words and the other, in the ballot pamphlet and so on. Where is that? Is that in the bylaws or
yes,
is that that is in the bylaws?
The 500 words and the equal on-air time is in the bylaws. The more detailed things about carts and so on, that's in rulings of the National Election Supervisor and policies of the PNB.
And there's no penalty for not doing it. In other words, there's no enforceability in that, if I may add that.
Of course there is. In fact, the PNB passed an explicit motion last year that any, I can't remember the exact wording, but something like any failure to implement this motion, the motion about airtime for elections, will be noted in the personnel files of the manager who's responsible.
Well, Bob, I have to say that that's one of those meaningless rulings that has been invoked and to no effect whatsoever for months, if not years. And I really object to you even proposing that as a serious way of enforcing anything.
Point of order, please.
Yes, go ahead, Sarah.
I think it's improper for the chair to sort of jump in after each person makes a comment if we're honoring a stack, even if we're being informal. You know, it doesn't have to be tit for tat on every point.
Are you on the stack?
And I am. I actually did ask to be on the stack.
I'm sorry, go right ahead, please.
And I just raised the point of order, and you acknowledged me, which is why I spoke. What is the confusion?
Oh, was that you were on the stack? Was that the point you wanted to make?
No, my point is that you need not jump in after everyone speaks.
You have
that,
made
that,
that
is not
point.
The role
is there,
of the
is
chair.
Is there another point that you wish to make?
If you're recognizing me for my turn in the stack, then yes.
I am indeed.
I would ask that the member reread the motion along with the with both portions of the motion. I don't even understand why there's a suggestion to divide them. The implementation and what we want done next. It seems very logical to keep it together, but whatever the case is. If you could just please reread the motion, we could vote on it. It's almost 10 o'clock in New York, and I'm wondering how much longer we'll be on the call.
Yes, can I, Carolyn, can I go ahead?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, and then, I agree, it would be good for us to vote so we can move on. Okay, whereas Article 12, Section 4 of the Pacifica Bylaws provides for member access to the membership list, quote, for a purpose reasonably related to such person's interest as a member of the foundation, unquote, but also includes the proviso, quote, where the foundation provides a reasonable alternative to achieve the member's articulated purpose, the foundation may deny the member access to its membership list and information, unquote. And whereas the Pacifica bylaws and rulings of the National Election Supervisor provide for several methods for candidates for delegates to make their positions and views known, positions, views, and backgrounds. Views and backgrounds known to the membership in order to advocate for their election as delegates, including all candidates' equal right to have their 500-word statements included in the booklets mailed to all voters, to participate in on-air and community, and in station-sponsored community debates by candidates.
What was that, station-sponsored?
Yeah, in other words, not just informal things that somebody may set up on their own, but the station, you know, the election supervisor officially organizes some forums that are out
right.
in the community that anyone
okay,
can.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Since we're informal, can I suggest qualifications rather than background?
Sure. That's fine. Let me change that.
Or both.
okay, how about both? Background and qualifications. All right. Okay, once again. Whereas the Pacifica bylaws and rulings of the National Election Supervisor provide for several methods for candidates for delegates to make their positions, views, backgrounds, and qualifications known to the membership in order to advocate for their election as delegates, including all candidates' equal right to have their 500-word statements included in the booklets mailed to all voters, to participate in on-air and station-sponsored community candidate debates, to record on-air announcements, and to have their answers to a lengthy questionnaire included on an official Pacifica website. And whereas in prior delegate elections, the above-cited section has been utilized by delegate candidates and groups of delegate candidates to send privately financed mailings to promote the state to the station, to their station's membership list, and whereas the spending of large sums of money in Pacifica campaigns runs totally counter to the non-commercial nature of the Pacifica network, and to the aims of the foundation to provide its members with fairly contested elections without serious imbalances in access to campaign funding. Therefore, be it resolved that the Campaign Finance Subcommittee of the PNB Elections Committee recommends that, recommends that the Pacifica National Board make a finding that when a member seeks access to the mailing list, just waiting for that to come. Okay. Make a finding that when a member seeks access to the mailing list in order to promote or criticize the election of a candidate or candidates for delegate, the foundation provides, quote, a reasonable alternative to achieve the member's articulated purpose, unquote, by the methods outlined above, and thus determines that the foundation shall deny use of any station's mailing list to a member who seeks such list for the purpose of promoting or criticizing the candidacy of one or more members for the position of delegate. Should I add a sentence saying this in no way restricts any other legitimate usage of the mailing list?
Yes.
I object to that because the objection here is pretty restrictive, and I'm wondering who the foundation is in your motion. Who do you see as the foundation?
Well, Casey, you can inform us. What is the who has to give the okay whenever a candidate says I'd like to get access to the list to send my literature? Is that the executive director?
It's been the ED. In the past, it's been the ED.
Okay, then that's what I mean by the foundation. I think that's pretty clear. The ED speaks for the foundation, or as delegated. Casey, has that been delegated? Do you know who made
it? I do not know. However, I do know that this is the last week that the current ED is serving, and I do not believe a replacement has been chosen, so I don't know what will happen in the case of the vacuum remaining, but there has to be a decision-making process. I agree. I had not been informed by the previous national election supervisor whether he had a say in the matter or not. I have no idea.
Okay, well, maybe that's something you could check, but I think for now we can leave it as the foundation, and if it needs to be refined later, that's something we can do. But, I mean, the foundation is, that's the term that's used in a lot of motions passed by the board. So just to finish this sentence, and thus determines that the foundation shall deny use of any station's mailing list to a member who seeks such list for the purpose of promoting or criticizing the candidacy of one or more members for the position of delegate. And so I'd like to propose this amendment for clarity. This policy shall in no way restrict members' access to the foundation's mailing list for other purposes, for other legitimate purposes. Does that, Henry, does that satisfy the concern?
Yeah, that's. I was going to propose something along those lines myself. That's good. I'm happy with it.
Okay. All right, and then the final clause is further resolved that the subcommittee recommends that the National Election Supervisor, as soon as possible, or request as soon as possible from Pacifica's legal counsel, a written legal opinion with citations of applicable case law, if any, on the legality of this proposal.
Can you send that to us in writing?
Yes.
The added language to the last paragraph?
30 seconds.
Thank you. Now, does this have to go to the Finance Committee for a financial impact statement?
Well, I don't see any financial impact at all. It actually, doesn't save money, but it doesn't spend a penny. I don't see where it involves spending anything.
I think just pro forma, everything must go to the committee, if I'm not mistaken.
No, only things that cost money. There's no money here. This is just a policy that we...
Is that correct? That nothing... Are you on that committee? I'm not, so I'm not sure. I just thought that everything had to go...
We've discussed this many times, and that policy applies. If something is going to cost Pacifica money, it needs to go to the Finance Committee. This would just mean that, you know, you get a request from a candidate, whoever the U turns out to be, whether it's the ED or the general manager, and they would say, well, what's the purpose? If the purpose is to promote your candidacy, no, I'm sorry, I have to deny it. Done. There's no cost involved. So can we move to a vote on this?
All right, well, we'll just assume that's correct, and if we're correct, the Elections Committee will deal with that. Yes, Henry, can you call a roll on that?
Let's see. Do you, Cal, you get to vote, don't you?
Yes.
Even though you're chair. Okay, so going in alphabetical order, Carolyn Burton.
All right, no.
Terry Goodman?
No.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Henry Knorr? Yes. Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Okay. That's everyone, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So we have a 3-2 vote.
All right. That passes then. Is there anything else on the agenda?
Well, point of information?
Yes.
Was there a separation of the request?
No, there wasn't. We didn't vote on that. That was part of the entire motion. The last paragraph.
Then I moved that we adjourn.
That Bob is going to send along. We need to set the next meeting, however, if there is a next meeting. Does anyone have any suggestions for that?
Why would we need to meet again? Hello?
Bob, are you going to say something?
Well, I'm just trying to think what exactly would we be doing at the next meeting? Because at this point, we've kind of taken a position, and now it's up to the Elections Committee to decide what to do with it. So, I mean, does someone have further business to propose at our next?
Well, let's perhaps we should wait until the Elections Committee decides if they're going to add to our charge. And when is the next Elections Committee meeting?
The 24th.
Of September.
Right.
All right, so perhaps we can wait until that point to set a next meeting and see if they have a further charge for us.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And point of information here?
Please.
Are we not asking Casey to approach the Foundation Council before the PNB takes this
right.
up?
Right, and because he has his own authority, he doesn't have to get permission from a committee or a board.
Wait, we are asking him to do so?
We actually didn't set a date, but Casey, could you do that before the 24th, before the election?
That makes sense to me.
Thank you.
The sooner we can get the information, the clearer the choices before the Elections Committee will be. Yes.
All right, that's fine. And Bob, you're sending through the language we actually voted on?
Yes, I just did.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
Can I suggest that we perhaps set a tentative, pencil in a tentative date in case the, I think likely that the Foundation Council finds that this is not legal.
Well, that makes good sense to me. What date would you suggest? Something that seemed to be convenient for most people. The 24th is Elections Committee, and the 28th is the PNB. So, do you want to meet before the PNB meets in the event that this is rejected?
Is there any reason why, if it is, we can't set a meeting by phone?
That gets so iffy, and people forget to respond. I'd rather do as Henry suggests and set a tentative meeting now, and then we'll at least have it blocked out tentatively. Is the 23rd all right, Sunday the 23rd?
Just not sacrifice another Sunday.
Well, yeah, I'm tied up that entire day.
About Monday the 24th.
That's the election.
Well, there's always Friday the 21st, Friday night.
Oh, I have an idea. What about an hour before the Elections Committee? It's meeting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Is that for you West Coasters? Is that an option, 7 p.m. Eastern? On the 24th.
That makes 4 p.m. That's difficult for people working.
It's okay by Terry.
Henry, is that possible?
4 p.m. on Monday the 24th.
Monday the 24th.
I could do that.
Okay. Casey, is that possible?
Yes, it's all right by me.
Okay. So that would be my proposal. But let's only do it if there's a legal problem, because if there's not, there's really we've already spoken on the issue.
I agree.
All right, so I'll put that on tentatively and for the 24th at 7 p.m. Eastern, and wait for Casey to report a written report with citations, legal citations.
So, Bob, you're going to email me the language.
Well, you're on the committee's listserv, right?
Yes, I believe so.
So, yeah, you should have already received it along with the rest of the committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much, people. We stand adjourned. I assume there was a second or two
second.
That request
second.
For adjournment. Thank you. And we'll meet on the 24th if necessary, one time or another.
Okay. Good night,
everybody. Thanks,
everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.